Okay, Shkoyach to everybody. Thank you, Dr. Lustiger, everyone, all the sponsors. Nice to see everybody. Okay, so the topic of tonight's shiur is Issur Achilas Chametz Be'erev Pesach. Divrei Haggadah V'Divrei Halacha. Erev Pesach is a complex day. You know, like certain things, like usually the Jewish calendar, you know, you start night, Shabbos starts at night, and it's the Issur is the whole night, the whole next day. And here we have like half the day is Mutter and Chametz, half Midoraisa, half the day is Aser. We split the day in half. It's a funny type of halacha. Of, you know, the Gemara says, Mikra Din, Erev Pesach, Ach Chilek, Ach Bayom HaRishon, and Yom HaRishon, the Gemara says, is Erev Pesach, and Ach, Midoraisa, half the day is Mutter B'chametz, Midoraisa, and half the day is Aser. So, so we'll try to understand in Halacha and in Hashkafa, what is the message and what is the halacha that is being articulated in this idea of Erev Pesach having part of the day Mutter B'chametz, part of the day Zasa B'chametz, and how this works. So the Torah tells us, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu, Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisus Ur Mivateichem, Ki Chol Ochel Chometz V'nichras HaNefeshim Yisrael B'yom HaRishon HaYom HaShvi. And the Gemara says Yom HaRishon doesn't mean the first day of Pesach. It means Erev Pesach. That's Yom HaRishon. And the Gemara says something else. And that's the Gemara here on Hey Amud Aleph on page 6. At the end of the brackets, it says Ach Chilek. That the word Ach means to be Mechalek the day. If you look in Rashi, Achin v'Rakin miutin. Because Ach means to minimize. Yom Rishon is Erev, Pesach, and Ach, only part of the day, is Aser. Chetzio le'Isser, Chetzio le'Heter. And then, you know, there are Dinim d'Rabbanan, to Aser it even earlier in the day. As we know, that we stop eating chametz even earlier in the day, before midday, midar rabbanan, you might make a mistake and things like that. But the daraisa is midday, ach chilek, and that's the and then there's a machloikas on page 70 of Chesam at Aleph between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. My detanya chametz bein lefnei zmano bein lachar zmano over alav balav. Tov zmano over alav balav v'karis divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this: the way Pesach is divided is on Pesach itself. If you eat chametz, it's a negative prohibition, and you get and you chayv karis, you know, which is considered a very chomer dika iser. Of Karis, Nichrasa HaNefeshahi, we sort of cut off, where it discusses premature death and things like that, but a real severe type of Isser, and that's on Pesach itself. There are restrictions before Pesach and after Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda is the most machmir opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that if you eat chametz on Erev Pesach, say after Chatzos, you get Malchus, it's a laf. And if you eat chametz after Pesach, it's also a laf. And Pesach itself is a laf, but it's also karis. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. And he says, no, on page at the top of page 8, on Chaf Chesem Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chametz Lefnei Zmano, Ulachar Zmano, Ein Over Below Klum. In other words, there's no lav of Kodem Zmano and no lav Lachar Zmano. But Tov Zmano is the Lav and Karis. So there are restrictions, according to Reb Shimon, before Pesach and after Pesach, but not real, not the Chomer of a Lav. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you eat Chomets on Erev Pesach, you get Malkus. And if you eat Chomets after Pesach, Chomets Shavu Lo Pesach, you get Malkus. Reb Shimon doesn't hold from that. Reb Shimon holds that before Pesach, it's Tashbisu. After Tashbisu, you have to get rid of it. So if you're not getting rid of it, then so you sort of undermine the Isser of Tashbisu, because you're using it. So you Mavatel Chei Mitzvah Esei. But you don't get Malkus for that. And after Pesach, also there's no Lav. It's a Knas. That since Chomet Shavu Lo Pesach is an Issur D'Rabbanan. So that's Reb Shimon Shita. It happens to be that the Rambam, if you look in the Rambam, on page 13. Also, lechol chometz biyom arbasar b'michatzos hayom ulamala. Should be tchila shashviz bayom. Chol ha'ochel b'zman hazeh lo kemen ha'torah. She'enem lo sochol of chometz. So according to the Rambam, how does the Rambam paskin on Erev Pesach? Like with Shita? Like Rabbi Yehuda? That there's a lav on Erev Pesach. Now, after Pesach might be different, but that's he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, not like Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda is very straightforward. You get Malkus before Pesach and Chometz, and Erev Pesach in the afternoon, if you'll eat Chometz. You'll get Malkus, and you'll get Malkus if you eat Chometz after Pesach, if Chometz over Lava Pesach. And Pesach itself, you get Malkus, and it's also Karis. And Reb Shimon says, no, before Pesach is no Malkus, there's no Lav. Obviously, each one has to figure out what did you do with the Pesukim, so they'll have a different drasha for the Lav. What Rabbi Yehuda says is a Lav, he'll, on Erev Pesach, Reb Shimon will learn a different halacha, that it's talking about, you know, something else. It's not going to be talking about Erev Pesach. So, but that's the upshot of... So it's interesting. So what's the din of, according to Reb Shimon, on Erev Pesach? Again, Min HaTorah. Midrabanan, you can't even eat the chametz already earlier in the morning. But says the Tosfos on page 8. The nira, the first word on the line is achar. The word achar, it's towards the middle of the Tosfos. The first word on the line is achar. Achar sheish. The nira, the nafkale, that was, so where does it say, according to, if there's no lav, then what's to stop you midoraisa from eating chametz on Erev Pesach, according to Reb Shimon? According to Reb Yehuda, there's a lav. According to Reb Shimon, there's no lav. So he says, because the pasuk says tashbisu, so tashbisu means to destroy, shaloka derech hana, but it means to destroy in a way that you're not benefiting from it. Dainu achila. But he says, but say you want to make a barbecue on Erev Pesach, and you want to take the wood, the firewood, and you'll put chametz in the, you know, in the firewood to make a tafshil. So he says, so you're benefiting from it. You're benefiting from the chametz. So he says, that's okay, because that's, you're destroying the chametz while you're cooking. You're destroying, that's destroying. But to eat the chametz would be prohibited, because eating is not called tashbisu. Even though you're getting rid of it also by eating. But the Tosa says that's not called tashbisu. But in contrast to the Baal HaMor, the Baal HaMor, on here on page 12, he says a fascinating thing within the opinion of Reb Shimon. Okay, the Baal HaMor is always very interesting. He's the most interesting. We usually don't paskin like the Baal HaMor. Except all of a sudden, when it comes to the date line, Chazon Ish says we should follow the Baal HaMor. And because that Nakuda, he felt, and others say, no, we shouldn't paskin like the Baal HaMor by the date line either, etc. But the Baal HaMor is usually very fascinating and usually not lahalacha. But it's always interesting to see what he has to say. So he says, fascinating, you see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this sixth line, you see where that aleph is? That aleph in the end of the sixth line? The ochil le mechal mishe shosu lamala ad ha'erev, if you eat it, you eat the chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, einu over ba'achilosom. You didn't do an aveira. Midoraisen. Midorabani, you're not allowed to do it. But with the rice, it's okay. Why? She'ein l'cha hashbasa gedola mizu. Because eating is also consuming. Ein l'cha hashbasa gedola mizu. Wow. So Tosis didn't like that. Tosis says you want to cook and you want to put it in the firewood, the chametz, that you could do, because that's destroying it, even though you're benefiting from it. But if you're mamish eating, Tosa says, that's, in other words, when you eat, you don't say, I'm destroying the food, you know, I'm eating. That's not, when the Torah says you have to destroy, it means shelo kederech achila. But the Baal HaMor says, no, who said? Hashbasa means to get rid of. So if you're eating, you get rid of it. You get rid of it. Fascinating. So that's what he writes. Ein l'cha hashbasa gedola mizu, aval l'chatchila, you shouldn't leave it around so late in the day. Ein lo l'hashoso mishen nichdaso shahashish is the kaim lo mitzvah tashmitsu mitchilat shahashivis mi l'siv achilek. V'chamim osu lo siag shahashish is shalo shoso. But he says, but as far as the Torah is concerned, l'halacha, it wouldn't be a violation. In other words, tashmitsu doesn't preclude eating, as Tosa says it does. Oh. So that's the discussion. You know, there's also an interesting discussion about, yeah.
So according to Tosa, if you were to eat on Erev Pesach, you would get a malchus?
According to Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, no, you would not. Only Rabbi Yehuda. You would be considered violating a mitzvah esse. In other words, the Torah saying tashbisu, and you're not doing what the Torah says. You're eating, and you're not being, I'm eating, it's going to be destroyed. But the Torah didn't mean to destroy it when you're eating. That's not called destroyed. That's called eating. And you're eating, you shouldn't be eating. Again, midrabanan, everything is going to be also even earlier in the day. But I was trying to understand what the din d'oraisa is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd get malchus. There's also an interesting discussion about, you know, it's interesting that there's a practice that some people have, and I say a practice because not everything people do is worthy of calling it a minhag. Not everything, you understand, just because they do something. I have a minute to. Just because you do it doesn't. It has to be a certain chashivas for you to be a minhag. So the question is: this thing that people do, they don't have, matzah 30 days. You know, you get all kinds of shilas. We don't eat matzah 30 days. We don't eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh. The real din of matzah is what?
Erev Pesach.
Now there's a question: Erev Pesach the night before, in the morning, the afternoon, those are in the Rishonim. But this thing about not eating from a month before, people do it there, but I don't know. It should be, I don't know. Maybe it's a minhag, maybe it's, I don't know. You know, gebrux is a minhag, and kitnius is a minhag. Those are a clear minhagim, and you know, and those are, you know, has a lot of halachas regarding these minhagim. Is it say, for example, the discussion? Some people eat shmur matzah the whole. So the Pri Chadash says he doesn't think that even makes it as a minhag. It's a nice hanhaga, but he doesn't think it. You know, it's a minhag, then you need hataras nedarim. If for some reason you can't do this minhag anymore, so then a minhag has a din like a neder, and you need hataras nedarim to So that's a discussion. When is it proper to? That's a whole other discussion. How do minhagim work? How do minhagim work when you're in your parents' home? How do minhagim work once you leave your parents' home? And how do minhagim work when you get married? And like someone just today asked me, he grew up that he didn't eat gebrux, and his father was very machmid on that. And then, unfortunately, his father's no longer with us. And now he got married. And now he's in a family where, going for Pesach, it's, the whole thing is gebrux. And, you know, so it's a question. Is that considered that's considered a minhag. The only question is, are you mechuyev to do a minhag that your father did? I mean, there was a machlokes between the pre-chadash and the pre-toyar. The Pri Chadash says minhagim have nothing to do with what your father did or didn't do. Minhagim have to do with minhag ha-mokum. If you live in a certain mokum, and that's the minhag ha-mokum, you have to follow the minhag ha-mokum. But there's no such thing as minhag avos. That's the opinion of the Pri Chadash. And the Pri Torah, that's the Or Chaim HaKadosh, argues. And he says there's a din of minhag avos also. And that's a whole discussion of what we're... It was in the Gemara, as Rabbi Gedalia Berger once pointed out. You look in the Gemara, you never find the concept of minhag avos. You only find in Shas minhag ha-mokum. And minhag ha-mokum means that you're still living in that mokum. If you move and you're not planning to go back, then you no longer have bound by.
But we say there's no such thing as minhag ha-mokum because.
Yeah, so that's the way it's right. So today, it's. A discussion about whether we have a mokum, because the concept of kihila, is not as clear in America. This, like in the Hasidic circles, like there's a concept of a kihila, and the kihila has their minhagim, and but most of Judaism today is not in the construct of a kehila. It's, shuls. So shuls are nice places, and the shul has a right to have minhagim of the shul, but that's not a din minhag, that's a din just of decorum. That, the shul can't, like a certain rav said to me, shul can't just be a hefker. So we have minhagim of what we do in this particular shul, but that's not a din taras minhag, it's just a din of decorum. But minhagim, and it's interesting to point out that the Stechema discusses this, Rav Shechter discusses, Rav Big discusses, a lot of discussions, even in halacha, are you mechuyev? I'll tell you something extreme, and that is, a question about wearing tefillah on a Chol HaMoed. So I don't wear tefillin in Chol HaMoed. Why? Because my father didn't wear tefillin, and his father didn't. But really, the Stechemet says that has nothing to do with Mechagim. That's halacha. That's halacha. Meaning, it's a different shittas in halacha. So the Stechemet says, and others discuss this as well, other Rabbanim, have big discussion, or Shechter discussed this discussion, that just because my father paskin, or has his rav that he paskin. Doesn't mean that I have to have the same pesach halacha as my father does. But so the maisa, anyone who will tell me what should they do, I'll say do what your father is. But not because I think that's midin minhag. It's just will look very awkward if you come to shul and your father is wearing tefillin and you're not, or vice versa. So certain things you have to just do out common sense, you know, but not necessarily, because minhagim has to do with things that are not halacha. But your father is machmir for gebrok, so he's machmir for kitten. You know what I'm saying? So these things are mutter mitam halacha, but menoyeg as a chumra. But if your father is following the shita that tefillin chol moed is a choiva, so that's a halacha. So that doesn't mean that you have to follow that psak. So again, I tell people, don't think I tell people that they should, if their father's putting on tefillin, they shouldn't provide. I tell people, no, you should do what your father's doing. That's what you do, and that's what I do. But not because it's a din minhag, really. But it's a din of just, you shouldn't look, because you wouldn't look, and especially after you get married and moving to a different place. Yeah. I don't know, kibrav, whatever. Yeah, there is a halacha that you shouldn't cause tzar to your parents. That's a halacha. That you have to give nachas ruach to your parents. That's a halacha. You have to give nachas ruach to your parents. But that's not als hilchas minhagim. Yeah. Yeah, but say your father, you know, he's very laid back. He didn't care. So I still would tell somebody not to do it because it just doesn't look normal. I once went away to a shul somewhere near San Francisco, and I was giving shiurim about Hilchas Mezuzah. And I discussed, you know, there's a discussion which way the mezuzah should be, the right way. But what if there's a door you can go to both ways? So some say, so put two mezuzahs, one on this side and one on the other side. I said, but you shouldn't do that because it's not normal. So after the Shabbos, this woman came over to me and says, from all the things you said this Shabbos, this was the most important thing that you said. That resonated with me the most. So minhagim is minhagim. That's why another interesting point about minhagim, I'll tell you, this I heard from Rav Yitzchak Abadi Shlita, that this comes up a lot. Like my parents, my mother should live and be well, so Sephardic Jew, from family from Turkey, Istanbul, the Dardanelles, my mother's side. My father's, his family grew up right near Brisk. So the question is, when a Sephardi marries an Irish, so normally it's brought down in the poskim that you keep minhagim of the husband. But if you're used to davening a certain nusach hatfilah, especially in Yom Noraim, no one wants to have to change their, you know. Imagine if someone would say, oh, now you have to do Eidot Mizrach. I wouldn't know where to start, you know. Or somebody's Eidot Mizrach, you have to do Ashkenaz. So Rav Abadi said to me, that's not part of minhag. It is minhag, but it's not a minhag of Isser V'Heter. There's an idea of following the minhag of your parents or your spouse is a minhag of Isser V'Heter. Do we eat kidneys? We don't eat kidneys. Do we eat kubrachs? We don't give kubrachs. But to daven this nusach, that nusach, that's not minhag of Isser V'Heter. So that, everybody told me, thought that you could, and then that comes up, you know.
So what does minhag of a second day refer to?
Minhag Isser. Meaning we don't do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. We don't eat. Do we eat kibros? Don't eat kibros. Eat kidneys? Don't eat. But it's an Isser V'Heter, an Isser V'Heter thing. But something that's not even Isser V'Heter, like Nusach HaTfila, is that, and something that's halacha. You see, Isser V'Heter means Isser V'Heter of chumris, but putting on tefillin, not putting on tefillin chol moed, that's a question of what's the halacha. is Chol HaMoed. So that doesn't necessarily, the Stei Chemetz said, that doesn't necessarily have to do with, and that's how some others have pointed out. But I told, within normalcy, you should, you know, it shouldn't be, even if your father wouldn't be Makbid, it just wouldn't look normal for you to sit in shul with your father, with your parent, and they're doing something something different. Okay. Okay, so Erev Pesach, so that's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Chametz on Erev Pesach. So now let's take a look in the words of the Chasam Sofer on page 17. And he wants to explain this Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Erev Pesach. Again, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a lav, right? To eat chametz on Erev Pesach from Chatzos on. Rabbi Shimon says it's not a lav. So you can't eat either because it's a violation of Tashbisu. And the Balamor says that's not even a violation of Tashbisu because you're getting rid of it. So you can get rid of a Derech Achil also. Oh, so it says like this, says the Chasam Sofer on page 17 on the right side, where the arrow is on the right, top right. V'nei l'hovin tam l'haktim shei shos l'isr chametz. So what's the reason for this, these, the 6 hours extra? I mean, why don't wait till Pesach? Can't have chametz, can't pay. Why is there an isr erev Pesach? K'var k'savnu l'el tam hogun. He said, l'el, we said a nice reason, but now we're going to say something else. That's good. That's what the Rav was like. The Rav would never like to say the same thing again. You know, when they had a shloshim for Rav Soloveitchik in the Airport Auditorium, so his son, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, gave one of the speeches, and he said he was once learning with his father, and they were learning sechtim, a certain masechta, and they got stuck on a certain thing. So Dr. Chaim said to his father, so, you know, we learned this from Sechta a couple of years ago. So let's look what we wrote in the notebook of what we said then. And the Rav gave him such a look. Like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to think it through again now. We're not going to just look up, you know. The Rav is always into rethinking. So we know that when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they were two types of bondage. Shibur haguf, v'shibur hanefesh. In other words, physically we were oppressed. We had to do all types of physical labor. And shibur hanefesh. And it was not a conducive environment for ruchnius. You know, it was all avodah zarah, and it was all the... And that apparently affected the people. He says, "Hinei shibur haguf kvar pasach chatzi shana kodem." He says, "If you look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Kaimel of Rosh Hashana batla avoda b'Mitzrayim." The Gemara says, "So, there was 6 months before the physical bondage ended. The physical bondage ended, but the shibur hanefesh." The fact that we were in an inconducive environment, hayu adayim mishukayim betuma ad halayla hazeh. Right? Till we left, we were still in that environment. So he says, yesh lanu lasa zecher lebeiz geulos. So he says we should make a remembrance to both these redemptions. He says the reason why we have an Isser Chometz and Erev Pesach because Remez L'chatzi Shana, in other words, every day is parallel to a year, so therefore Remez to L'olam Chashvim Yom L'Shana, so therefore that idea that there was 6 months before, so therefore 6 hours before is Merames on those 6 months before that we stop eating chametz to remind us of this aspect of the geula, because chametz was the food of Adam, right, as the Rishonim say. So the cheres of the physical labor was 6 months before, and hence the symbolism is in the 6 hours before. Remez l'chashin l'shana, the olam l'chashvim yom l'shana. So one day is 1 year, and therefore, well, Reb Shimon, but what's pshat in Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon says, no, midoraisa, you can eat chametz, according to Reb Shimon. There's no lav. And according to the Balamor, you can even eat. But there's no lav. So why doesn't he want to have a memorial to the redemption of Reb Shimon Svirle? Why? Because this is only one of the goals that we had. And we had other goals, Edom, Yavan, Madai, all these other things. So it wasn't the only Shibud. So ein bedin l'gvola zecher b'fnei atzma. V'chein darsh v'shashi yeshno b'achiris matzah shu b'layla. Al zekai l'matizko v'muchach shu b'skim b'layla. So that's what he says. So that's the machlokas, whether we should have a zecher only to the shibud ha-nefesh. And apparently, once we left Mitzrayim, maybe we were in Golus before, but never to that degree of oppression, spiritual oppression, like there was in Egypt. So that was gone. So that we make a zecher for that, and that's in the morning when we left. That's in the morning when we left. To do another zecher, so Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, we should do another zecher 6 hours before, commemorating the 6 months before. And Reb Shimon says no, because that wasn't something that was permanent, and therefore, even though it was temporary, so a certain measure, but he felt the Torah wasn't going to make a halacha from something that was temporary. And then he says that Omnam. So then he says there's an interesting discussion in the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas has a fascinating discussion in the sugya of Tfilas Arvis Rishus Sochova between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel paskin Chova, Rabbi Yeshua paskin Rishus, and then there was a whole thing in the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yeshua stand up, and it might have been viewed as improper treating him that way. So they wanted to depose Rabbi Gamliel, and then they put Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They asked him, maybe you should be the head of the Sanhedrin now. And then the Gemara says, Obdom Svarzu Befrechasi Midivre Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Sheminu Nosi, and then they made him the Nosi. So his wife said, why should you take the job? So he asked his wife, What's your opinion? Should I take it? They fired Rabbi Gamliel. Now they're offering me the position. Should I take it or not? So he asked his wife. So what does she say? They'll do the same thing to you. They'll do the same thing to you. Dilma Marvirinloch. They're going to fire you also. So he replied, L'shamish inish yomachad b'kasad demukra ulamachal litbar. It's better to have something, even if you use it for 1 day and that's it, than never having it at all. So you see that his statement was that feel dovish ainu noheg laolam mikomokam tova gedolahi min shemayim iskim lus faraso, and min shemayim, you know, he took the job, at least temporarily. Min shemayim iskim lus faraso zosharei nasalo nes. And he looked like a 70-year-old man. And then even though they made peace with Rabbi Gamliel, and they said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not going to be, he's only going to be 1 out of 4 weeks. But nonetheless, in Cain, who had din sheyesh lasos chus l'pedus gufeinu, lesser chometz mivav ulamal of lo lidrosh k'Rabbi Shimon. So that's the. So even something temporary, we should perhaps that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So that was a whole discussion about you see. Okay, that's it. Okay, but there's another point that he makes here, Chasam Sofer, and that's on page 20. So it's interesting that Midaraisa, look in the footnote, in the blurb on the side of the page here on page 20, Erev Pesach Chodom Chatzos Kulo Chometz. That Erev Pesach before Chatzos, right, is, so as we discuss now, should you have the 6 hours or not? Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. And the halacha and what that depicts. What is? But now he wants to explain another thing. That Erev Pesach before Chatzos, we were talking now after Chatzos. What about before Chatzos? So that's chametz. You eat chametz. And matzah not. So what is it? And then after Chatzos, there's no chametz and there's no matzah. So what does that represent? That before Chatzos, you can't have matzah, but you can have chametz. After Chatzos, no chametz, no matzah. So he says like this: Omdu b'mitzrayim lo yakein ki lo haya taruvus chametz u'matzah ki kol ocha yu avodim leparo hayu roim v'chatoim. For Ovdei Avodah Zarah. In other words, when Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, so they were Ra'im V'chatoim, they were idol worshippers, deceived, V'lohaya B'yadim Shum Mitzvah, deceived V'at Eirom V'erya. So Erev Pesach before Chatzos represents, but we're still in Mitzrayim. We're still in Mitzrayim. And when we were still in Mitzrayim, we didn't have any real zchusim of mitzvahs. Yeah, lo shinu shemam, but they were still ovdei avodah zarah, right? They're still ovdei avodah zarah. So that's why it's kula chametz. Kula chametz in the morning represents that Klal Yisrael didn't have any zchuyas at that point. Kula chametz. Nothing good. At Eirom Ve'erya. That's why Hashem said, how are you going to go out of Mitzrayim? So he gave them Pesach and Milah, so they have some type of chus. But before that, nothing. So Erev Pesach, before Chatzos, kulo chametz. No matzah at all. Omnam, next paragraph. Mishar shehishlichu avodah zarah d'chsiv. But what happened at Chatzos? At Chatzos is the time that what? Or a little after Ben Arbayim. That they're going to shech the Korban Pesach. So what does that represent? The Korban Pesach was the Egyptians of Avodah Zarah, right? So it says, Mishchu Yideichem, Mishchu Chulachem Tzon, right? So what does Chazal say? Mishchu Yideichem Me Avodah Zarah, top of page 20, left side. Miyad Nizbar HaChometz. So at this point, Klal Yisrael finally has a chus. Miyad nizbar hachomitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mochu lahem, shagolus mechaper ba'adam, u'mikol mokom, adayin lo hayo matzo gamkein. Mizel Erev Pesach Achar Chatzos Shosu B'Shneim. So at that point, they got rid of Avodah Zarah. So there was, but there was nothing yet positive. So there was, because matzah represents a positive skus. They got rid of the negativity. They got rid of the negativity. So before Chatzos, they still were full with all the negativity. So it's all chametz. After Chatzos, there's no chametz, but there's no matzah either. Because there's no chametz because they did rid themselves of chametz. They did, meaning they got rid themselves of avodah zarah. So therefore, there's no chametz after chatzos, but there's no matzah either because they didn't have any positive mitzvahs yet either. Until Hashem said, "I'm giving you two mitzvahs, Pesach and Milah." So Hashem says, I'm going to give you two mitzvahs. And the two mitzvahs are the concept of Yad Chazaka uvizroin atuya. Ki Yad Chazaka merames al mishku yideichem me'avodah zarah. So that's the Yad Chazaka. That Chatzos, after Chatzos, they're getting rid of the avodah zarah. So no chametz now, because we got rid of the chametz. The Gamal Yudal Nisan is also the Zeroa Natuya. What does Zeroa Natuya mean? Hu Acherev. Because what do we say in the Haggadah? The Charbo Natuya Al Yerushalayim. So that's the Zeroa Natuya. What does Zeroa Natuya mean? That's the sword. The Mila. Hasei L'Chachov HaSurim. Shuv Molo L'Yisrael. Halkein Anu Ochlim Kulo Matzah. So therefore, at the night, it's kulo matzah because now we have zchuyos, we have the korban pesach, and we have the mila, and the korban pesach represents getting rid of avodah zarah, getting so there's no chametz. But what's the positive thing? The mitzvah of bris mila. Hasei l'cha chor v'surim v'shuv molas b'nei Yisrael. So now it's kulo matzah because we got rid of the negativity, and now we have zchusim of mitzvahs mila, and therefore it's kulo matzah. V'zeh tshuv avodim hayinu, v'golos b'chabim v'yitzvei Hashem b'yad chazaka v'zor natuya. Hashem took us out b'yad chazaka v'zor natuya. That's the Pesach and the mila, because yad chazaka is representing the korban Pesach, because mishku yedeichem me'avodah zarah. So that's the Yad Chazaka. And the Zro Natuya, the Gemara says, is the Charbo Natuya al Yerushalayim. And the Charbo is the Cherev of what? Of Mila, of the sword that... And that's the... So when you look at the blurb here on the side, Acher Chatzos Osu B'Shneim. Dimishashe Shlichu Avodah Zarah Lo Haya B'Yadam Lo Chet V'Lo Mitzvah. See, in the afternoon, so we can't have Chametz, but we don't have matzah either, because we got rid. See, in the morning, that's Mitzrayim. We're in Mitzrayim, so we chametz, just chametz. In the morning, it's just chametz, just all the negativity. That's the morning. In other words, he's saying there are three time periods. There's going to be the morning, the afternoon, and the night. So he says the morning is kulo chametz. It's kulo chametz. That means we're still in Egypt, we're still Shakua in the Avodah Zarah and everything. So Kulam, in the afternoon, we started shechting the Korban Pesach. So we get rid of the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, but we didn't have anything positive. We just got rid of the negativity. So in the afternoon, we don't have chametz because we got rid of the negativity, but we don't have anything positive either. So we don't have matzah either. At night, we have matzah. Because at night, now we have this chus of the eating the Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah. And now, and those are the three periods on Erev Pesach. Of the morning of Erev Pesach, the afternoon of Erev Pesach, and the night, which is really already Pesach, but it's that that continuation. And that's how the Chasam Sofer explains the halacha and the drush. And it's interesting that we say in davening, where we say in the Asher Galanu, look in the Avudraham on page 23, it says, V'rdelecha shir chadash al gulaseinu v'al hedus nafsheinu. As we say in davening also, Rav Yitzchak Sorotskin has, Mimitzrayim galtanu beis avodim pidisanu. We have Geula and Pidus Nafshenu. So that, I remember years ago, Rav Mordechai Elephant from Itri gave a shir once in YU. So he said over from the Brisker Rav that Mitzrayim galtanu beis avodim pidisanu. That Geula means we leave, we're free. But Pidyon is more esoteric. Pidyon means something like when you take Kedusha and you off something, you poda. So that was, he says, it was the spiritual Geula, and the Pidyon is the spiritual Geula, and the Geula is the physical Geula, and that's the two aspects that we have. And that's what the Chasam Sofer explains, that these were the two things that that happened to Klal Yisrael. And the Gula of Klal Yisrael, and then the question of whether we should have an Isser Chametz on Erev Pesach, the discussion, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, of whether we should commemorate only the spiritual Gula, which was more or less permanent, and or also the physical Geula, and then the three parts of Erev Pesach: the morning, the afternoon, and the night. The morning is Kulo Chametz, Kulo Tame. We don't, because not only we didn't have Schuzios, but we have all the negativity of the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, and it's Kulo. And in the afternoon is you can't have Chametz anymore. But you could still have, you can't have Chametz anymore, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Says that Rabbi Yehuda says it's a lav, and Rabbi Shimon says it's a violation of Tashbisu. And because at that point, Klal Yisrael didn't have the Tumas Mitzrayim, but they didn't have the Schusim either, so therefore you can't eat Matzah on Erev Pesach. And the last thing is at the night. In the night there's no chametz, but now there's matzah, because there's no. What? Yeah, that's. But it was. There was the way he's understanding it was something like that. Some. Well, they needed to have milah for the. Yes. Well, so these are the. It's interesting that the issur of eating chametz, eating matzah on Erev Pesach. We said some people don't eat matzah for the month, but even Erev Pesach, which is fascinating to me, you know, Erev Pesach, that's for sure we don't eat matzah. But what's fascinating is, you know, what's so fascinating is it doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere.
Just heard a shir today from Rabbi
Leibowitz,
so it's
brought
down the Yerushalmi.
It's only in Yerushalmi. So the question is there any reason that you could be Mekel if, because it was only brought down in the Yerushalmi? There's a discussion. He has a tshuva. The Chasam Sofer has something. The Mishnah Socher has something. You know the Sefer Mishnah Socher? So I'm sure you all heard of him. He wrote two svarim, more than two svarim. But one is called Mishnah Socher, which probably you never heard of. And the other sefer, I'm sure you all heard of, and that's called Eim HaBanin Smecha. That's the famous sefer on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's the same person who wrote both svarim. So in the Hasidic world, they just read the Mishnah Sochi. In the more Dati Lumi world, they just know from Deim Rabbanim, Deim Rasmech. But he really wrote both, both of these farm. So he has a discussion: if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you know, we all wake up early. What if you overslept? What if you overslept and you missed the, and now it's already the zman that you can't eat the chametz anymore. So what are you going to do for Suda Shabbos? So there's a discussion that he has based on the Chasam Sofer that maybe it's only in the Yerushalmi. Maybe you could be makel to be yotzei Suda Shabbos. I would never be makel for somebody like that. I tell him to eat fruit. You know, for both, for all the meals. I wouldn't give. But there's a discussion that the Hungarian poskim have that maybe since it's only brought in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli doesn't have such an issue, so Shasat Chach to be Yotzi Suda Shabbos, maybe you could give him matzah on Erev Pesach. But to me, I would never matter such a thing. Give matzah on Erev Pesach, even though it means he won't be Yotze let him be Yotze like you said, like he could be Yotze Shal Shudas B'Shasat Chach with Peiris. But that was a whole discussion that the Mishnah Socher has on that thing. But it's interesting. I wrote a thing, hopefully it'll be published one day, of the Pesachim in the Bavli, Pesachim in the Yerushalmi that are not in the Bavli, and how we should paskin. Because usually if it's not in the Bavli, so usually the halacha is like the Bavli, negative the Yerushalmi. So why all of a sudden over here? So that's what I wrote a whole piece on that discussion. But it's taken as a dover chomer ma'od, not to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. And that means that you shouldn't have the, you see, today the companies don't make, when I was growing up, so they all made cookies, Gebrock's cookies. Today it's hard to find, you know, because the world became more Hasidic and more this. So like, you know, that's how, talking about Gebrock's, that's, you know, the way Pesach programs are defined. You want a more Hamish crowd, less Hamish crowd, whether you can eat Gebrock's or not. So I remember as a kid, they had the Manischewitz used to make the cookies for Pesach with matzah meal. But now it's hard to find cookies with matzah meal because it's not kedai from a business perspective. You're not going to get so many people to buy it. So, but those cookies you shouldn't eat on Erev Pesach also. If you could still get a hand of those cookies, you shouldn't eat those cookies on Erev Pesach. And fish, because they have matzah meal in the fish, is also a big question about. They don't make it anymore either. Okay, so we're all good. So to have them on Erev Pesach because it's Rabbi says he makanos makas mardus. So even though it's only in Yerushalmi, but it's considered a.
The only thing left is cake mixes. The cake mixes at matzah.
Right, because then it's up to you to buy the cake mix. Right, but the cookies you're not gonna. Yeah, it's all shahakol. So everybody holds you really should make bari pi adoma on those. Yeah, it's a discussion where how much when something is adoma and then it was grinded up. Does it still make adoma or is it going to get a shahakol? So here's but it's, what's interesting to me is the chayadam shita. You know what the chayadam shita is? That potatoes or kidneys. So if you hold like the chayadim, I don't know how you'd survive. Yeah, have nothing to. And quinoa. I follow the shita that quinoa is kidneys also. But others hold that quinoa is not kidneys. But I'm machmir to treat quinoa as kidneys, not to eat quinoa on Pesach.
What's the issue with
it? Because quinoa is like a midi de midgun. What?
Grain.
It's grain, right. Right.
I thought the point is not a great.
It's not one of the five chamesh mina dogim, so it's not going to be chametz. But maybe it's close enough that it should still be, because that was part of the idea of kidneys, that it's the type of thing that people put in a silo and they can make bread out of it. So the so they knowing to be machmir, not to make not to make a confusion. So some hold that it's not kidneys. I follow the sheet that it, that it is kidneys, and I don't have kinwa on. I can last 8 days without. I don't know if I can last 8 days without the potatoes. But with the kinwa, I could... The Chayyadim says potatoes is kidneys. I guess because potatoes, people would make like flour out of them. So it was something similar to chametz.
So that's...
It could be, yeah. But right, if you eat kibrach, so if you didn't eat... That's at least right. You know, there's a story. I'll end with this. The Divrei Chaim's daughter. She was having fertility problems, so she had to go to a specialist. And the place where she went was. In the town where the Chasam Sofer was. So she decided she'll go visit, and it was Pesach time. She decided she'll go visit the Chasam Sofer for, you know, how could you not? You're in, you know, from the Chasam Sofer. So Chasam Sofer sat her down and gave her a plate of soup with knedlach. So she didn't know what she should do. Her father, the Vechayim, doesn't eat today, doesn't eat kibros. But the Chasam Sofer is serving it to you. So she didn't know what to do. So the way the story goes, again, I can't swear to any of this, but the way the story goes is she ate two of them, and she had twins. And she told her father the story. He said, if you would have eaten five, you would have had... Okay, that was the story. Okay, so I wish everyone a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. And now we have a little more of a perspective of different aspects of Minhagim and different aspects of Erev Pesach and how these things work out. So everyone should have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Okay, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Okay.
You too.
Everyone. Your brother had a